Hello and welcome to the Treehouse Letter, where we are always learning with a bit of fun. This is Milan Shatten, your host and producer for today's podcast, which is Superior to Saint Scientist, Philosopher and Poet. The novel provides truths of an important kind unavailable elsewhere, Joseph Epstein. So who is superior to the saint, the scientist, the philosopher, and the poet? The novelist, writes D.H. Lawrence, because the others are masters of different bits of man alive, but never get the whole hog, unquote. Reading important novels enriches life through the exploration of fate and revelation, moral conflict, and ultimate truths. Such an experience is unique to fiction, more specifically to great fiction. The decline of the novel, the serious book, worthy of rereading, Joseph Epstein argues is a result of digital age, punctuated with endless distraction, political correctness, creative writing programs, the current publishing industry, the graphic novel, and worst of all, what he calls the new therapeutic culture. This trend, or triumph, as Philip Reeve writes in his 1966 book, is nothing new. Here's a quote. We are no longer living in a culture where honor and dignity, courage and kindness are primary, but instead in one in which self-esteem and self-gratification are the chief goals. God help us. I have sadly found this common in contemporary writing, especially in works festooned with glowing reviews and awards. The story goes along, we meet the characters, then a jab, another jab, eventually an over-the-head whack with the psychobabble du jour and the author's message. So what then makes a novel great? Definitions abound on this, with the final measure of taste going to the reader. Critics have pontificated. One suggests simply, a good book must be interesting, memorable, and rereadable. Works for me, as interesting means that I learn about the world, compelling characters, and a good story. Such a novel lets me see characters change, and as a result, how I change by the time I'm finished the book. I have grown into nonfiction. Why? Because I believe truth is stranger than fiction. And I like reading about factual stories, real events, and learning what the author believes and how she has lived. I have begun to second guess this and broaden my thinking or my attitude at the very least. I credit or blame, depending on how you view it, this to the pivotal essay and book Epstein wrote, The Novel, Who Needs It? Epstein argues that the novel is superior to all other forms of writing. Only the fiction writer, the novelist, can get inside the head of every character, have omniscient narration. Readers can know characters better than anyone, better than their family or friends. You may learn new information and gain new knowledge from nonfiction. And yet, to learn the highest truths, to learn about humanity, what it is that makes us feeble, strong, angry, remorseful, to experience the intimacy of human connection and relationships to place and culture and time, the interweaving of our lives to each other and the role of destiny, that can only come from the novel. That said, the novel means nothing if the story is not tied to moral conflict. Here's where Epstein and literature programs face the PC politically correct, the PC firing squad. Who then makes the list of serious novelists, great books, or works worthy of rereading? Who is the arbiter of such a canon, you ask? And how do I get on with enriching my life and taking to task with immediacy my purple personal education and growth? Well, look no further for the best judge of all, time. consider the original book. Epstein writes, apart from those who insist on a literal reading of it, the Bible itself may be viewed as a great novel, perhaps the greatest ever written, with its first part, the Old Testament, a grand family chronicle novel, the second part, the New Testament, a picaresque, or a work dominated by the adventures of a single hero. The novel is a story of love and fate, whose author must produce a successful illusion of reality. And it must be more than simple escape or pleasure. Here's a quote. The best novels elude all isms, naturalism, realism, symbolism, and are centered on moral conflict. Sometimes this conflict is between the public and private lives of its characters, sometimes between desire and righteousness, sometimes between duty and freedom. The possibilities and permutations are endless, which has given the novel its incontestable richness. And that's from Epstein's book, page 54. Okay, you concede. Where to start? Epstein discusses why this author and not that one, suggesting that the best American novelist is Willa Cather. His canon includes the great Russians and Jane Austen, Proust, and Edith Wharton. He lists numerous lesser knowns, but scant few contemporary writers. Years ago, Epstein reviewed books, and most of the notables have not lasted, that is, continued to be read, in the 35 intervening years. What makes Epstein compelling is his humility and generosity of spirit, his sense of humor, his breadth of experience. Though I may or may not agree with him, the ideas resonate on some deep level. Read the best novels you can find to learn, to empathize, and to grow. In the process, acquire a more complex understanding of humanity, of life's mysteries, its meaning, and its point. And reading these authors is to plumb the truths of the imagination and of the heart. Is the novel superior? Is the novelist superior to those most vaulted of personages, saint and scientist, philosopher and poet? Whether or not you believe this, there is good reason to agree that the novel is one of humanity's highest achievements. Here's a quote. Reading superior novels, novels by Cervantes, Jane Austen, Balzac, Tolstoy, Dickens, Dostoevsky, George Eliot, Stendhal, Proust, Robert Musil, and Willa Cather, among others, arouse the mind in a way that nothing else quite does. So one final point illustrates the superior nature of the novel. The serious novel investigates ideas and often, quote, finds them wanting, sometimes helping to kill them, unquote. Consider these novels. Arthur Koestler's Darkness at Noon, George Orwell's 1984, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn's One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. And here's the quote. These three novels did more damage to the prestige of communism than any straightforward polemic or personal account of the hell of living under that cruel system of government. And that is Epstein, page 124, quote. That's the end of the letter or the podcast. The footnotes include the full quote from D.H. Lawrence and a reference to the opening or epigraph by Thomas Jefferson, which argues that novels are a passion that we must avoid, but that concedes at the last that some novels are worthy. In the footnotes, I also make an allusion to my midlife progression to nonfiction and how this book has helped make the argument and change that, as well as links to some of the writings that he refers to and a letter that I actually wrote about several years ago on Solzhenitsyn and the Gulag, a Russian novel about your life, which explored the One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, which is referred to in this letter. As always, thank you for listening.